Hey, sup everyone. Hey. Haven't heard from...
Oh, we've started?
Yeah, we've started.
Cool, sorry.
Yeah, it's on. Sorry you haven't heard from us in a while. We've been, I don't know...
Busy,
sick, moving house. I'm Lani.
I'm Ben.
And I've got with me Te Awariki and Josie from...
Hello.
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 It's Josie and T.
Yeah, Josie and T. I'm glad to see that you guys are still alive. You haven't been...
Haven't been killed
surprisingly,
yet.
Yesterday.
We were walking the streets yesterday, and, like, Queen Street.
We had a few people come up to us.
Yeah, and we were, like, prepared to throw hands.
Yeah, we were like, I got you, Josie. Yeah. And
then, but they were fans, like, they were,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they were really cool.
Like, one of them was really nice, and she'd been following us for a while, and she, like, left her nan to come talk to us, and, like... That was nice.
That
and
was
then the
nice.
Other one on
the other
street,
one scared us because we were walking around the corner and she would just randomly put her hands out and had this frightened face on.
Yeah.
And we were like, and I was like,
and we're like,
fuck, she's
what?
A, I was like, she's a Jimmy fan. Like, I'm sorry. So, yeah.
Yeah. For anyone who's listening and doesn't know what we're talking about, you guys released a video recently calling out Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was more like you guys were using him to bring up
as
other
example.
Issues,
yeah,
right?
People, I think people were looking at it more as an attack on Jimmy, whereas we were just, it was more like an attack on general casual homophobia and casual sexism, casual racism, just using Jimmy Jackson as an example because he's so
well-known.
Well-known.
And we know that would get...
And a lot of people can relate to attention. Him, so obviously they could relate to the same behaviours that he exudes, which is
and
what
it's really
we were calling
awesome.
Out.
It's really awesome because of the feedback that we got. Example, there was this one woman who Snapchatted me and she was just like, she sent this novel and she said that she has called people, like she had been like, you're gay, you're a faggot kind of thing for a very long time, and she was okay with her kids using that kind of language. And so she was like, from now on, like, I have a changed perspective and everything. And so that, just alone, her alone, her story alone, I was like, wow, like, we did it. Like, we're like, cool.
Well, like, as long as we've changed at least one person's perspective on this matter, then...
It's like,
job
but,
done.
Like, yeah.
I'd rather, like, 1,000.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that we've actually had some Jimmy fans coming saying that. I've been a fan of Jimmy for so long, but after your video, I just, like, realised that some of the stuff he says isn't okay. And, like, now I'm aware of it.
We've had a few people that are like, oh, no, you shouldn't have gone for Jimmy. You should have gone
for
someone else.
He's a good guy. And we're like, we said he was a good guy.
Yeah. We literally say he is a good guy. Like, because we don't hate him or anything. Like, we're just like, you should check yourself.
Yeah,
like,
as a person, we don't hate him. It's just like those things that he had done.
Yeah. They were
annoying.
So, yeah.
It was done in like a really humorous and simple way. But I thought, like, for example, the way you were standing there while those words were being thrown at you, I thought that was like a really good illustration of how that sort of stuff can hurt.
Definitely.
And I was thinking, you can't watch that and sort of think...
Exactly.
That's
and also the commentary behind it, like, because we were filming it and, like, we have, like, things that we're going to say, like, we have them already pre-written out, but that last line where I was just like...
Yeah, where he, like, broke down a bit.
Like, I actually started crying
afterwards. Yeah, we actually had to, like, stop filming before he actually started crying because we didn't want it to be, like, a sympathy thing. It was just, like...
It just happened, and so we... Just when I said, fuck, I forgot what I said. What did I say?
Like, it can
hurt people.
Make you
like,
feel suicidal.
It can, and
like
then
that,
the last thing, like, it can make people feel suicidal because it has before to a lot of people, kind of thing. And I feel like if you were to anybody that would go against that in itself, like, we don't want you following us anyway. Like, we don't want your.
If you don't agree that, like, homophobia and sexism and shit isn't okay, then.
Yeah.
Like, if you think that's okay, then we don't want you following us anyway.
Yeah,
so
fuck you.
It's not a loss.
So, yeah.
It's funny because now. When I hear someone be like, oh, that's gay, I'm like, a little bit of me is like, oh, that's like...
Not okay.
Yeah, not okay, but it's not so long ago where it was, like, very okay.
I used to use that word a lot.
So I never did, but like...
Yeah, but I always did too.
Yeah. And that's the same with the N-word. I used to say that all the time.
Same.
Like, and I used to be one of those people that, like, when I was younger, I'd be like, I'm allowed to say it, like, because I'm moldy, like, kind of thing. And then... Just a good, like, year ago, I was like, well, fuck, I can't actually say
you're
this
Maori,
word.
You're Maori, but not black.
I don't understand. So I'm Maori, I'm not black. And even people of colour in New Zealand, they're not allowed to say it either. Like, they shouldn't say it, I should say.
I'll get you guys to answer the question that I ask everyone. When people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
I normally just say I was born in Rotorua and I was raised in Gisborne. It's pretty simple. Like, I'm New Zealand. Yeah. But normally when people... Actually, yeah, it depends. Because when people ask me where am I from, I normally will say Gisborne because I spent most of my life there, I guess. But if they want details, then I'll say I was born in Rotorua and then make that connection there and see if they fuck a papa back to Te Arawa and stuff. So, yeah.
And how about you?
If anyone from Auckland's asking, then I'll say Wellington because I don't consider myself an Aucklander. Yeah. I've only lived here for like a year. And, I just feel like it's like disrespectful to all actual Aucklanders. If anyone from Wellington is asking, I'll just say like my suburb, like where I live, which is Lower Hutt. But then if anyone white or just like isn't brown is asking, I'll just be like, I'm from Samoa.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what they actually want to know because they see that I'm of colour, so they want to know like where that colour comes from. And I actually was born in Samoa, so...
Oh, true. Yeah. When did you guys come
over here? We came to New Zealand when I was 3 years old. Then we moved to Australia for, like, a couple of years, and then we came back to New Zealand.
Cool. Yeah. So you've both kind of moved around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
In our own ways. Yeah. It's very interesting.
I have no Australian pride, though.
Yeah. Just going to get that right off the bat.
I'm a Kiwi. Did you get that?
How did you two meet?
So it's a bit of a story. Okay, so in year 13, because we were both like leaders of our school kind of thing.
What school is it?
I went to Lytton High School.
And I went to Chilton St. James.
Yeah, and so we both signed up to this conference and it was the Students Against Dangerous Driving, SAD. It was that conference and I was really out there.
I was more like I just blended in with everyone, whereas we were in different groups, but he was like the leader of his, so he'd always speak for like the group presentations and stuff. And I would always be in my group, just like wouldn't contribute or anything, just try and like lay low. Because I just feel like, oh, these people are not my people, like I can't relate to any of them.
And I like didn't know who the fuck she was.
Yeah, but he was always at the forefront of everything, so I was like, fuck, he's cool, like he's funny. Like everyone would laugh at shit that he would say. And I was always like, I want to be his friend, like I wish I was in his group. But we never had any interaction during that conference.
Right.
Until the last night where they had like a social, it was like a disco, and he was on the dance floor and I like shimmied my way over. I was like, this is my time. I was like, on the dance floor, I'm a star. Like, so I just like went over, but it was
she really was a star, like on the dance floor, like, like whoa. And so she came over to me, and I remember the encounter and we were like, hi, what's your name?
And I was like, what's your name? And he's like, Tanuki. And I was like, what? And he's like, Tanuki. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I did not know what the hell you said. So I was like, yeah, okay, nice to meet you. I'm Josie. And then I just like danced away because nothing had like,
Nothing came from it. From and so after that, that was that.
And we didn't talk to each other. After but everyone that, though, from the conference, like, added each other on social media, so we were all connected afterwards. Mm. But then, like, a couple months later, I was like, okay, I don't know any of these people, so I'm going to delete them off my social media. That's just weird that I'm friends with them, but I don't know who they are. Yeah. So I, like, went through a friend cull, and I, like, removed all of them. But when it came to T, I was like, no, he was cool. He was funny. I'll keep him around. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So and I just kept him around. Kept each other
on, and then on I social remember media, seeing though. Her on Instagram and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this girl's got her tits out. Like, she's got tons of followers. I like that. And then, so I was like, okay, cool. So we knew of each other for ages. We had each other on Snapchat. And then the weirdest thing is, so the year after, so after our last year of high school, we both went to Wellington. We both studied the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And we just never acknowledged each other. Yeah. Even though we both followed each other and liked each other's books.
Yeah, even though I just saw a Snap story and then like, quad, and I was like, I know he's here. Like, I saw it. So, like, he knows
him. Yeah, and I remember the time that we saw each other. Like, it was the most awkward thing. Like, I was walking towards my exam.
We were in the same exam room and I was outside it.
And I saw her and she was just looking up at me like, and then we both looked at each other. And then we looked away.
We made eye contact, looked away.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck, that was weird. That was awkward.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah. And then shit went down for the
So the whole year we didn't talk, still interact at all. Yeah. But we still had each other on social media.
Yeah. And so by the end of the year, shit went down on both of our lives. And so we were both like, you know what? Let's just, in our own way, like, let's move to Auckland. So we both just happened to move to Auckland at the exact same time. And then we still had each other on social media, and I was like, she like replied to my Snapchat, and I was like, oh my fucking god, it's Josie Oluwatua. And then we just like, we didn't, but we saw each other again at the moment where we actually properly met was at a bookstore on K Road. Yeah.
The only reason why I was there was for the bookstore, and like K Road is close to uni. Mm. But then there was also the part of me that was like, K Road is ulti and cool, yeah. And I want to be ulti and cool.
I want to hang out. I want to find some friends. Yeah. And then I was just there because, like, I was just there. I can't remember. I think Sal's is right next door, so and I was fat at the time. But anyway, and then I remember I walked into the bookstore.
Yeah, I saw him walk in as well, and we made eye contact again, and we didn't say hi or anything.
I was just like, fuck, that's that girl. Like, yeah. And then, but then I remember, like, I was walking near her, and then she couldn't reach this book. It's quite funny, like, yeah. People don't believe us when we say it, but it happened. And then, we went to reach.
I was trying to reach a book, and I didn't say, like, someone help me. I was just, like, trying to reach a book, but I was trying to make it, like, low-key. It's like,
yeah.
So that I wasn't struggling, but I was. And then so there's some white arm just reached over. Mine and like try to help me. Like all the books from that shelf like fell on us.
Yeah, it was quite funny because then we were just like fuck, like, and we hadn't even spoke, like we were just picking up the books and shit.
Because the bookkeeper was giving us mad evils.
Yeah, and then he started kind of
laughing about it, so he thought it was like a joke, and we're like,
and he started coming towards us, and then we were just like, we could apologize, and and then we were just like. And then Josie just like tapped me, and then we just get it.
We
and
just
we're like,
ran fuck!
And then like we ran, and then
we
ran.
We were just laughing about it.
And then we had.
And then he gave me shit. He was like, "Finally, you talk to me."
Yeah, it took a whole fucking bookshelf.
It took 3 years.
Then we hung out that day, and it was just like one of the. It was quite crazy because we just got along so well. Like,
yeah. We developed personal jokes from that one day.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, she's my soulmate. Or she's a soulmate of mine. So we were just like, yeah. Love you. And then, ever since then. And then, like, 3 days later.
And then 3 days later, he had a mental breakdown and moved away.
And I was like, I've got to go home. Like, I need to move back home. But I met her and, like, yeah.
You met her at the right time.
Right, definitely right time. Because I was very depressed and, like, suicidal kind of thing.
And the people in your life, like, his friends and, like, his relationships at the time were very, like, detrimental to his health.
Yeah, very toxic. And I had helpful. No, it felt like almost everyone had given up on me. Like, I had no friends. Like, I was giving up on myself. And
maybe
then I met
because
Josie.
I was a fresh face, so I, like.
Maybe. Like,
yeah. So I can't give up on you because I just meet you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, there's still Josie. And then we just kept in touch for the entire year. Like,
but I remember when he told me that he was going to leave, like, usually people were like, no, stay, like, stay with me. But I knew that he needed to leave, so I encouraged him leaving. Like,
yeah. And then so I left and.
Yeah. So we had, so like, a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
That sounded like the plot of like a movie.
I know.
Just no. Like,
we're waiting for someone to
have some.
That must have been a tough decision for you, though, to leave.
It was.
To take yourself away.
Well.
Because it wasn't just leaving relationships, it was leaving uni as well.
Yeah, it was leaving uni. And because my parents are so supportive of me doing whatever the fuck I want kind of thing. Like, if I wanted to be a prostitute, they'd be like, be the best prostitute you can possibly be kind of thing. Because when I was depressed, like, I had no friends. Josie was my only friend kind of thing. And I was, like, literally on the bathroom floor, and I had, like, two text messages. One was from Josie and one was from my mother. And then I just remembered, and I was in a state of, like, it was horrible. Like, I was so depressed. And so I had to, my mum just said, come home, like, come home, son. And in that moment, I was like, I have to for my own health, my physical health, like, everything. And so it was actually an easy decision because it was like I had hit rock bottom. Like, I had literally hit rock bottom. And the thing about Josie was super supportive. You could kind of tell, like, she was like, fuck you. Like, all my friends here are lame.
Yeah, I actually was. I was like, damn, I just met someone. Like,
yeah,
with,
yeah.
Like,
with my time.
Staying alive.
And then so, yeah. And so it wasn't too harsh a decision because I had the support of, like, Josie, and I had the support of my family. And so, yeah.
I guess that's a good lesson. If you care about what Josie did, if you care about someone, then don't selfishly make them stay for you or whatever.
Was,
like,
yeah.
Because the rest of my year was very bland. Yeah. Like,
well,
I just hung out with anyone who would be my friend.
Shots fired at everyone.
So all the friends that I hung out with after May last year.
no, but yeah, so the biggest lesson, like, that I think we both learned was that platonic love is a big thing. Like, and we're like, people sleep on friendships so much.
Yeah, everyone thinks that, like, romantic love is, like, the be-all and end-all of, like, your life. Like, that's what everyone aspires for. And I guess it's because it's been instilled with us, like, in our childhoods, like, the prince meets the princess sort of thing. It's always romantic love, but
that's the strongest form of love you can have.
Yeah, but no, like, strongest woman's love is like the yeah and family love
and
like
family.
The bond
yeah.
of
yeah.
like parents and
yeah
like,
and
that
so
kind of love.
That was a big lesson, and I was like, fuck yeah, like friendship is so important. Friendship saved my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And friendship helped us both after like breakups and
definitely
stuff
like we're always there for each other. And
everyone goes through things differently, but would you have any advice to people who are going through that, like what sort of self-care steps they should take? Or
I
like
think that, see, like I can't speak for everybody, but for me, like it would just be like you have to figure out how to love yourself again, obviously. And one of the big things for me, there's so many things. Maybe like invest in a journal, because that's something that I did very early. Like I was like, okay, I need to write down, why the fuck am I so sad? Like, what are the things in my life that are making me so depressed? Like, and then once you see that in writing, it's different than constantly thinking about it. And then you, another thing, which is quite hard at the beginning, is to just write down maybe like one thing that you absolutely love about yourself. Like for me, I was like, something that I love about myself is my confidence. Like I've always admired my own confidence. And then also another thing, I was very unhealthy physically. So mental health and physical health go hand in hand. They're literally linked. So like if you can work out, like being healthy physically has a huge impact on your mental health, I found anyway. So you just got to take it day by day and just build yourself up slowly, yeah. And cut off the friendships that are fucking dull,
toxic.
Like, and toxic.
Yeah.
And
keep, toxic and dull.
Yeah, and keep the ones that are fulfilling and make you go to sleep.
Yeah, and make you excited about
yeah,
life.
Make you like, excited about life. And people that,
even
yeah.
just, like, excited for the next day, like, seeing them the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get you friends that you're actually excited to see rather than like, oh,
like, oh, I
got this
go
bitch again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that would be some of my advice. But we've actually got this really cool thing coming up where we talk more about my mental health with Attitude. Attitude's making a little documentary about the story with Josie as well. And so I think yeah. that would be a really cool visual for people to see.
That's very cool. And so were you were going through some shit as well when
yeah.
you met him?
I was going through like family stuff. Like, whereas, like, my family wanted me to stay in Wellington and pursue, like, a different career sort of thing, like, with study. And I just, every fibre of my being was saying, no, I don't want to do that. I hate being told what to do. Like, even
can
like,
confirm.
Like, I'm pretty sure I was supposed to be born in March, but, like, I came out in February, like, fuck you, I'm coming out now. Yeah, so I've, like, never really, like, listen to what people have told me
no,
to do.
Like I said, like yeah. she's the ultimate non-conformist.
Like even my parents, and I know, like, I have so much love and respect for them, but like I always listen to
yourself first.
Yeah, myself at the end of the, like yeah
that's pretty
because I know myself
so, like,
best
yeah.
so
yeah.
I know what I want the most so.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, they may not see it at first, but they're starting to see it now, like, why I came here and, like, what I'm pursuing and stuff. They can start to see it now, but then they didn't. They just thought I was being bots and, like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm 18. I know what I'm doing with my life. Like,
yeah,
I'm an
yeah.
adult now.
I mean, you mentioned, like, your Instagram and stuff and your family
yeah.
stuff and how you don't care and how the question you most often get is, what does your family think?
Yeah.
That's definitely, as, like, a Samoan, I was like, man, my dad would
yeah.
get my phone, like, stomp on it or,
oh
you know.
God.
I've actually had my phone, because my very first iPhone was an iPhone 4 and Beyonce came to New Zealand. And I asked my parents if I could go.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even allowed to go over to sleepovers. So
yeah.
going to Auckland for a concert was a big thing.
Mm.
And I asked my dad and he said no, straight out. Like, no. Yeah, he just said no. And I, but, like, little did he know that I had already bought a ticket and a flight. So I was like, okay. When it came to the day, I had a volleyball game and I told them, I was like, I've got a volleyball game. So don't pick me up because I'm getting dropped off home after the volleyball game.
Oh,
I was on a flight to Auckland
yeah.
while this volleyball game was happening. And I texted them while I was at the airport in Wellington. I was like, okay, don't hate me. I'm sorry, but I'm going to Beyonce. I know you said no, but I already bought a ticket and everything. And
oops,
sorry.
And,
yeah, and so they were, like, furious. They were, like, trying to call me, but I just put it on flight mode and just went to Auckland, and I saw Beyonce, and I touched her, and I was like, it was worth it.
Yeah,
and then
so
I came back home, and my dad just smashed my iPhone with
oh
a hammer, and I was like,
yeah.
I don't even care. You bought me that phone. You're wasting your own money, sis. Like,
get ready to buy me another
yourself.
One in a month.
Yeah. I like your guys' sex ed video. for young people. That's some important sex ed, you know? Yeah.
It's sex ed that we wish we knew.
Yeah, gosh. I think the most important thing, the most important part of that video was the consent part. Because, like, when we were talking about it, I was like, boys are literally not taught. They do not say a single thing about do not rape. Like, you know, like, don't rape anyone kind of thing. It's just like, girls, try not to get raped kind of thing.
Yeah, like, don't wear that. Yeah,
don't wear that. Don't do that. Yeah. It's all on the girl, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were just, I think that video was birthed out of anger. Like, we were just like, fuck the system.
Yeah, like, fuck the system.
Yeah. We think that's a very good video as well. I think with every single one of our videos, we try and there's the educational aspect, but we want people to obviously stay engaged with it. And so we add a comedic twist to every single part of it.
We don't want people to feel lectured. We want people to feel entertained, but also and walk involved. Away with learning something new.
Yeah, yeah.
Or being enlightened about something.
I just think it's cool that you guys can entertain, but also educate at the same time.
Like, I think it's really fucking cool as well. Because not many people can.
Yeah, that's kind of why we also started Josie and T. Because we noticed there was a lacking.
In New Zealand, especially. We were like, who the fuck teaches like proper lessons that people can, you know, take away from it?
Because we just take the piss out of ourselves as a New Zealand. Yeah. Mm. Like, that's our culture, just taking the piss out of ourselves. But, like, what's the lesson from it?
Yeah,
we can laugh at ourselves, cool. But,
and we can crack some mean jokes as well.
Can.
So, like,
some really offensive, racist, sexist jokes.
Because you do get sex ed in high school and stuff, and they teach you how to, like, put a condom and shit and stuff. And, like you said, like, the consent thing was really good. I thought also, like, it would have been cool to be told at a young age, like, you can have sex and not feel bad about it as well. Like, I think that was a big thing that was missing growing up. Anyway.
They don't, like,
yeah, that's where, like, the empower aspect of our 3 E's come from, like, making you feel good about your decisions and stuff like that, while
and
your actions.
I feel like both of us really embrace sex, like, just because we're super fucking horny, like, why are we, you know, and instead of feeling bad about it, like,
and everyone's always trying to suppress that, but it's like, we're humans.
Like, you want a dick in you, like, you know, like, even guys out there try it. So, like,
yeah, see, the thing, I always, like, get flack from, like, islanders, especially, saying that I'm too sexual, too open about it, and I'm like, literally, the only difference between us is that I'm open about it.
Yeah.
You're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I know you're sneaking out of your room at like 11 at night and
it's
stuffing
your like
having
sex.
I know, you're definitely having sex. You're giving me shit for being honest about it, whereas you would lie or like you would try and keep up an image, whereas I don't give a shit.
Did either of you grow up in like religious families at all? You did,
Me, cut out.
I actually chose religion, like, when I was younger. Yeah, like, my family's not very religious. Yeah, barely. Like, every now and then would pray at the table kind of thing. But I remember when I got to high school, I dated this girl, and she was a Christian, and her entire family were Christian. Love it a bit. I was just like, I learned all about it, and I'm so glad I did because I'm so aware of it now. But that part of my life, in terms of sex, like, and especially being, like, a homo, it was like, I don't know, I just felt very out of place all the time. Like, it felt really, it sucked shit, you know? And I was like, this sucks kind of thing.
Because everything about, like, the religion is, like, against, like,
what you are. Yeah, exactly. So I was just, like, weird. And I remember I talked to one of the, like leaders of the church, and I was like, oh, like, I have this thing. What are your thoughts on men liking men kind of thing sexually? And they were just like, it's absolutely disgusting, like, it's not okay kind of thing. It wasn't the pastor that said it, but it was one of the leaders, and I was just like, you know what, fuck this kind of thing. So I was like, no, if I want a relationship with Jesus, then I'll have it in my own time kind of thing. So in terms of like faith and spirituality, like, I've definitely grown, and I definitely believe in something. So, but I wouldn't say I belong to any particular doctrine or anything like that.
What drew you to the church in the first place? Was it just because of the girl you're dating?
Definitely because of my girlfriend, and because they definitely, like, we were always talking about it. Like, we were always having conversations about, like, God and the Illuminati. Like, it was those two things. So, like, yeah. But they were a lovely family, and they were, like, I'm very fortunate that they were. My first kind of experience with Christianity was through that family, because they weren't the kind to really, like, we hate so-and-so, we hate so-and-so. They were very loving and very caring about everyone kind of thing, but would always debate things, so.
No, yeah, I asked because I feel like so much of the hiding in island culture anyway is because of religion, and there's that that guilt like always attached to it. Yeah. So how did you overcome your guilt?
So I was like born into like Christianity and stuff. Mm. Like my parents are hearty. My dad's always like the secretary or treasurer of the church. Like he's been offered to be like pastor, but he never wants to take it. And I feel like part of the reason why he doesn't want to be a pastor is because he has me, he has a daughter. Like the judgment he would get. Like how dare you preach, but your daughter's out talking about sex, that kind of thing. And then also just because he doesn't, I feel like he doesn't like the responsibility of having to look after everyone. Like, but a lot of people have so much respect for him and like trust him so much that they want him to have that position. But he would rather like help from the back rather than lead from the front, like that kind of thing. So he's always doing like the behind the scenes thing. Yeah, with that, I don't really like follow the Bible sort of thing.
She doesn't follow anything. Like, she doesn't follow any rules.
Like I definitely believe in a higher power, and like I have like my own relationship with God. Like, and I feel like that's just a personal thing. Like it's between me and Him. Like He knows like my heart and like my intentions and stuff like that. And nobody else's opinion matters on that. They can't,
because it is no one else's like matter, like
business.
It's no one else's
and
business.
Everyone who does try and come for me like using the Bible and stuff, they just pick and choose certain parts of the Bible that they want to follow. Like they'll give shit to like homosexuals, but they're like having sex before marriage or like doing other things.
That's something that I really was like, I remember there was like a woman on stage that was preaching about homosexuality and how, or like gay marriage, because it was around the time where that was like a hot topic. And they were saying like, you know, it's not okay kind of thing. And I was just like, I quickly looked through the Bible and I was like, wait, like, and literally in like, I don't know if it's the same chapter, but in like a few before or something, it says woman shall not speak in church. Like it's like woman shouldn't speak in church. And I was like, this bitch.
This bitch.
Yeah, like, hey, get off. You're going to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Bible is that there's the Old Testament and then there's the New Testament. And there's some people who follow the old one and then some people follow the new.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the new and the old are so contradicting. So like you can't really follow both. Yeah. So it's
definitely the new though. Like we're supposed to follow the new.
Yeah, you're supposed to follow the new, but a lot of
people still follow the fucking old one. Yeah. It's old for a reason.
So yeah, so you guys like respectively for a year, I guess, sorted out your shit. Then somehow came together again.
And we were like, well, because we kept in touch and like we were calling all the time. It literally didn't actually feel like we were like
apart.
Like it's really interesting because the other friends that I like separated from kind of thing, we never kept in touch, but me and Josie definitely did. And one of my other friends, Deepika. So we both grew kind of in different ways, I feel. Like she grew a number of followers on Instagram.
And you grew in weight.
Muscle. Anyway. And then I remember when we talk, we're such enablers. Like, we're like, we should do this. Like, we should start a feminist club.
We hype
club.
Each other up.
Yeah, yeah. It's good and bad.
We support each other's ideas. And stuff.
And then I remember just one day we were just like, we should just make like a YouTube channel. Like, I'm sure it would be cool. And we did that like last year. Like, I was still in Gisborne. And then close to the time, we were like, yo, we're fucking poor. Like, we need money. And we're like, and then at the same time, we were like, but we don't want a job. So we're like, we need to do something. And so we were like, let's just do something that we absolutely love doing. And so we came up with the idea of Josie and Tea. And
like, I've always wanted to like make money from something that I love doing.
Yeah.
That I'm passionate about.
Yeah. And it's just finding those passions and creating content that's funny, that's educational and entertaining and empowering.
Empowering.
Is really fun for the both of us. So both personal growth, and then we just came to a point where we were like, cool, we're ready to do this. And we still have like issues every now and then. Like personal
issues. We're not like completely healed. But we're at a place where we can pursue this.
Definitely. And we know where it's going to go. Like we know exactly what we want and we know exactly who we want to be. And so I think as long as we keep the goals in mind, then what's going to stop us? Like we believe in ourselves 100%, so we're like, we're gonna go far. We're allowed to say that. Like I feel
like we get people telling us like, you guys are gonna be big. I think they expect us to be like, oh really? No, it. We're like, yeah, we know.
It's like bigger than you
that's
think.
That's why we started it, because we know.
Yeah, we know that we have something special,
and that's just us believing in ourselves and believing in like our purpose and what we're here to do.
Yeah, exactly. We both had all these experiences and we just happened to meet at a point. It just seems like fate. Like just this friendship alone made me believe in fate.
Yeah, and things like that. Everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason kind of thing.
You're both super switched on, really educated, really intelligent, like both like hardcore feminists and stuff. And I'm interested to know like where it is that you first learnt that stuff? Did you educate yourselves, or was it just through going through the shitty things in life? Like, how did you guys get to be who you are?
Yeah, for me, in terms of feminism, I remember I was talking about this the other day. Like, the first time I realised there was inequality, for me, like, as a child, it was when I played chess. Like, literally when I played chess, I was like, the king can literally do one move, and then the female can do... Oh, the queen can do, like, tons of fucking shit, you know? Like, and I was like, the queen is more powerful than the king. Why is it that we say things in the playground like, you run like a girl, you sound like a girl, like, you know? Why is it such a bad thing? And I remember that was probably the first time that I realised that there was inequality. And I remember talking to my mother about it, and my mother's fucking incredible. So she, like, I don't know, she's just the most powerful woman I've ever met. So I always had this respect for women that, like, nobody, none of the other kids at my school kind of had. I always surrounded myself with girls, and a lot of people, like, a lot of kids would be like, you surround yourself with girls because you're a fucking homo kind of thing. And I'm like, no, it's because guys are lame. Like, I was like, there's, like, no depth to you guys. Yeah. Like, you guys, how
sorry,
you guys...
Ben.
Yeah. No, you're great. But, like, just the... Because they were all conforming to this masculine, like...
Yeah.
And so... And then I kind of just sat on it for a bit. Like, I never was vocally, like... I didn't speak out about it, but it was definitely there. I only started properly learning about it when I moved to Wellington, actually, because moving out of Gisborne, which is quite a small place, and to Wellington especially, where it's, like, fucking feminist central, like, it's, like, the people that I was hanging out
it's
with...
It's just a trend.
Yeah, it was
feminism
super
trendy. Feminism is a trend. It's trendy there.
So we were, like... And so the conversations that we had were, like, always based around that kind of... those kind of things. And I was learning, because it was very new to me, and I'm still learning today, but... yeah, so... And I feel like with you it was different.
Yeah, for me, I think the first time I, like, when I was younger, because obviously I don't, like, listen to my parents, but whenever I'd want to do something, I'd ask my mum, and she would always say, oh, you have to ask Dad. And I'm like, but why? Like, you guys are both my parents, yet why does he get the final say in things? And then, like, I always wondered about that, like, why is that? And then, like, later on, like, still as a kid, the whole Bible thing, like, apparently somewhere in the Bible it says that the father is, like, the head of the household, like, the oldest male is the head of the household. And I'm just like, but what if there were no sons or dads in the family? Then what happens then, sort of thing? And it's like, oh, it's like an uncle or something. I'm like, why is it a man? I was always questioning that. Yeah, so the whole, like, me asking my mum, and then my mum would be like, you have to ask your dad. Like, even now that happens. Like, I ask my mum stuff, or I tell my mum stuff. She's like, you have to tell your dad. Then I'm like, why? Like, it's still, it's just,
he don't know shit.
Yeah. He's a man.
Yeah, but that's funny with that. Like, in my family, like, it was always, ask your mum. Like, it was always.
That baffles me. Like, yeah, when other people are like, oh, really? Like, my mum makes. I was like, really? End of 2014 was, like, my last year of high school. I went to an Anglican all-girl private school, so it was real, like, strict and religious and stuff like that. Like, I got in trouble for so much shit that I didn't even realise was that bad. Like, I was on a volleyball tournament, and me and my friend took a picture, and she was posing with a banana behind me. Like, the banana was near my rear end. And we posted on Facebook as a laugh, like, that kind of thing. And we got, like, in trouble with the principal, and I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. Relax, sis. It's
you're
a banana.
Like, what, you don't put bananas up your ass?
Yeah, or like, you know,
it's normal.
Bananas. Yeah, so then I, like, had discovered Free the Nipple, like, during year 13, but obviously I couldn't put any photos out there because I was still in school and I was part of the school council. Like, I was a house captain, so I would be under more, like, scrutiny and stuff like that. And because everyone at school already assumed, because I was brown and I came from, like, a religious family, that I'd be hard out Christian, so I especially couldn't do certain things. So every time I did anything, it was even more of a shock. Like, I had parents talking shit about me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've seen your daughter drunk.
I know shit.
Yeah. So, like, don't come for me. Check your kids. Like, and then, so I couldn't really post or be vocal about that kind of feminism that I just discovered on Instagram. Because I only just started Instagram in year 13. And I was, like, posting the lamest stuff because I didn't know how to use it properly.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until, like, I left school and I was like, cool, finally broke the shackles of, like,
yeah.
So I got my tits out. And then everyone was like, whoa, like, Josie's, like, a porn star now. And I was like, I'm not having sex. Like, everyone always just assumed, like, nudity was sexual. but it's not. Like, it's we beautiful. Were born nude. Yeah. Is that, like, is giving birth sexual? No, it's not. So the fact that everyone just assumed that. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, being in your purest and form was sexual.
It's the, like, conversations are constantly evolving, yeah, as well.
I never sexualized my body, but other people did. Mm. So it's not my fault that you found it offensive. That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then from Free the Nipple, I just, like, was following all these Instagram, like, feminist, outspoken girls, and I saw that they were calling out men, and, like, they were just open, outspoken, just didn't give a fuck, and I was like, I want to be them. And the fact that it was on Instagram, I felt like I could be my true self on there and then still go to church and still wear my turtlenecks and, like, around my family. And then 2015, I was still doing that, and that's when my parents were, like, noticing, because I was, like, getting quite popular on Instagram for my nudes, though. Like, people would just, like, followed me because I was a Free the Nipple girl. I boxed myself in. There's more to me. So
I also have a face.
Yeah. So then I put clothes back on. And then I, like, started working on my caption game. And, yeah, just took off from there.
Yeah.
It definitely stemmed, like, blossomed from Instagram.
And people learn from her as well. Like, I learned from her. Like, I remember, like, the first time she posted something and it was, like, not man-hating. Or, like, it was almost. Like, it was almost man-hating. I remember being, like, whoa. Like, I was like, that, I feel offended. But then, like,
not all men. I was like,
yeah, not all men. And then I was like, wait. Like, and then I had to, like, after, like, properly thinking about it for ages, and, like, then after meeting her and talking and stuff, I was like, no, what, a, like, when it comes to, when people say, like, man-hating kind of thing, I actually, I this is, like, a different opinion. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm kind of like, well, they're allowed to. Like, I'm, for me, like, I'm like, it's a part of the process of healing almost, like, feminism. Like, there's a lot of girls out there that, like, oh, fuck men kind of thing, and then men get offended, and it's like, you can't be offended. Like, you shouldn't be offended right now, because it's a part of the healing process for girls, because the anger's still there.
And most, like, of it, it's not even, like, hatred towards men, it's hatred towards the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Which is the idea that men are superior.
Yeah.
And I learned all that from Instagram. It's because no one around me was, like, talking about that stuff. Like, no one in New Zealand was, like...
Yeah, they're not teaching that in school.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that exposure until I saw Instagram, where it was, like, international, and, like, all these American people were talking about it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, you know, fuck, old people love to make... they love to make jokes about our generation just taking selfies and how, like, fucking skin deep we are or whatever. But actually, yeah, we do a lot of our learning on Twitter and on Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole selfie thing, like, I use selfies. I post, like, a hot pic of myself purposely because I know that it will get attention. That's why I always have something meaningful to say in the caption. Like, I'm using my face because I know that works. So I'm pretty much, like, taking advantage of that to, like, say something meaningful still by... in my caption.
Yeah.
You're doing smart marketing.
Yeah. Selling myself.
Whereas I just take selfies because I'm hot.
Well, that is the best reason to take a selfie.
And that's still okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you guys wanted to add at all? Any little nuggets of advice? Anything you really want to get out there?
Well, I would say, like, to my Islander followers, because a lot of the questions I get asked is, like, how do you do what you do while still being Samoan? And I say that it's more important to me to be authentic to myself and be true to myself than to let a culture dictate who I should be. Because at the end of the day, I'm still, like, my own being. So just be yourself.
And I feel like to some of the males out there, maybe, like, embrace your femininity. Like, there's power in it. There's a new kind of modern male, and I feel like we're heading towards a direction where the modern male is a lot more feminine than masculine, and start breaking those chains. Like, you can live, you can walk between both worlds. Yeah. Like,
and
it's
don't
possible
be threatened
to.
By the rise of women.
No.
A lot of men try and keep us oppressed because they feel like that will take power away from them. But
yeah,
we're just trying to get to the same level as you.
Yeah, yeah. And be secure in yourself enough to accept that. And also go to the gym.
Sweet. Thank you, guys.
All good. Thanks
for having
us.
Thank you. Cool. Eat some more.
Okay.
Cool. I will. Snacks now.